The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Okay. Well, I always feel privileged and honored and a little bit scared every time I get to do this. So I'm just going to jump right in, because the message that I have on my heart is already being preached all morning. It was preached in the worship. It was preached in the words that came up. And I believe that it's something that is really central to this season for us as a body and for the body of Christ as a whole. And that has to do with this whole concept of hope. And of course, we know that this is a central piece of Christmas. It's a central piece of the Christian life. It's central to the Word of God in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. But I feel like it's really been highlighted in a different way recently. I know that Pastor Dave taught on hope on December 9th. You can see that online at livingwaters.org. livingwatersmn.org. And I loved the perspective that he had on that. And there's some other aspects of hope that I want to talk about. But we've also seen it highlighted in some other places. I've seen it even just in media and advertising. We had met together about what the topic of our Sunday morning candlelight service for Christmas was going to be. And we thought, okay, we're going to do the thrill of hope. And within days of that, we started seeing that everywhere on magazine covers. And Chip and Joanna Gaines, that was their focus. And we're not being discipled by Chip and Joanna Gaines entirely, but it made us feel like we're in the right place. You know, we're in the right spot. So I think it's something that the Lord's speaking to us about. And one thing that I think is important is that we have the right viewpoint of what hope is. There's a biblical concept of hope, but there's also a worldly concept of hope. And when we talk about hope from a worldly standpoint, it's more like wishful thinking. It's like, I hope so. And to me, it's like when my kids ask me, can we go out to eat after church? And I say, maybe. But all you parents know what I mean, right? All the kids think that means, yes, we're probably going out to eat. But when I say maybe, I actually pretty much mean probably not. And so I think that's really the worldly viewpoint of hope. I hope this thing is going to happen. I hope that things are going to be okay. I hope that I can figure out this mic. Well, I think it's where I have it. Sorry. Are we good? Okay. It's actually, in a worldly viewpoint, hope is more an expression of uncertainty. But it's completely different in a biblical context. It is not wishful thinking. It actually denotes certainty. A biblical definition of hope is a confident expectation and desire for good in the future. Yeah. A confident expectation. So when we talk about the biblical viewpoint of hope, we're talking about something tangible. We're talking about something that is accomplishing something. We're talking about something that is solid. The biblical definition of hope is solid. It's not the pixie dust hope. Hope. It's like hope. It's something that we can hold on to. Yeah. It's something solid. And so when we look at it in Hebrews 6:19, we're going to be floating around in that verse a little bit today and in all the other verses in the entire Bible. But when we look at that, it says, "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast." And It's an anchor. It's something solid. It's something that we anchor ourselves to. It talks about it being both sure and steadfast. And when you look up what those words mean, sure means certain, and steadfast means certain. It's an anchor for our soul that is certain and certain. And that is the kind of hope that we believe that the Lord is imparting to us in this time. It's the kind of hope that in turbulence, in a storm, when life becomes completely disorientating, that hope anchors me to the truth so that I don't get off course. Amen. How many of us have had some turbulence in this last year? I have. And how many of you have felt disorientated? I have. But it's hope that keeps us on course. It's hope that keeps us anchored to a place of truth. It's hope that keeps us anchored to the one unshakable thing we have, and that's Jesus and his promises. And so when we talk about hope, part of the thing that we need to talk about is, what is our hope anchored in? What is the thing? When I come into a storm and I feel disorientated, that is my first sign that I'm not anchored to Jesus and his promises. I might be anchored to my circumstances. I might be anchored to what I can see, but it causes me to be tossed, and it causes me sometimes to go off course. And so when we come into those places of disorientation, of spiritual vertigo because of what's going on around us, it's important that we know how to get back to that place of hope. In that verse, Hebrews 6:19, it says, this hope. What hope? This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become a high priest forever. So can you picture that? That I'm here in the world in this disorientation, and I have this anchor to the Holy of Holies. That's how I stay anchored to hope. There's a lot that I think we're going to hear in this year about pressing into intimacy. Yes. That's how I stay anchored to hope. Because my anchor is Jesus, who is behind the veil, who's in that place of the Holy of Holies. And so that's where I stay anchored. I stay anchored to his faithfulness. I stay anchored to that and not my circumstances, not even my understanding. This was a big one for me this year. My understanding is not sure. My understanding is not the anchor for my hope. And there was such an amazing peace that came into my soul in the midst of everything that was happening when I let go of understanding and I grasped on to trust in Jesus. It was like, all that disorientation stopped. Because I didn't have to understand. And so if I anchor myself to the wrong thing, it's not a sure thing. 1 Peter 1:13 says, fix your hope completely on the grace brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what I had to fix my hope on, was the revelation of who Jesus is. Romans 15:12 says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise and rule over the nations. In him, the Gentiles will hope. When our hope is shaken by what's going on around us in the nations, where is our hope? When that feels disorientating to us, are we anchored in that place of knowing he will arise, that his government is increasing on the earth? One of the things that as I've been processing hope in these last 6 months, I began to realize that there seems to be two kind of camps around hope in the church, in the body of Christ. There's kind of two ways that we look at hope. And I don't know why, but we kind of tend to be either or kind of people rather than both and. But it seems like in the church, we either focus on eternal hope or we focus on present hope. But for some reason, we don't do a great job of embracing both of those things. And that was my struggle as we're processing for those of you that don't know, my mom had cancer and processed through that with going through hospice and all of that and passed away at the end of September. And there was, for me, this tension between present hope for healing in the moment and eternal hope for knowing that what, in her words, either way we win. And it was kind of like I couldn't give myself permission to live in both places. But she lived in both places. The entire time, she lived in both places, giving herself fully to present hope and giving herself fully to eternal hope. And so she modeled this for me, that it's not an either or. Yeah. It's a both and. That we can live fully in both of those things. This eternal hope, this hope of heaven, this hope of salvation, that really the gospel of salvation is based on, that salvation is bought with a price for us, that we have an eternal hope of being with God forever. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13, it says, we don't grieve as those without hope. Don't be ignorant concerning those that have fallen asleep. We don't grieve as those without hope. And that's because of this eternal hope. In 2 Corinthians 4:16-ish, let's see, I don't know if I want to read all of that. And this is the things that the Lord has just been processing with me around hope, as I've contended for hope. I'm looking at 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. These are verses that my dad preached on in previous months. For our light and momentary affliction, which is for a moment, is working for us a far exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And so here in real life, I'm watching this process of the outer man of my mom perishing, but her inner man growing stronger day by day. And I began to wonder if the truth is that the outer man is passing away and that the inner man is growing stronger day by day. Why do I spend so much time measuring God's goodness by what's happening to the outer man? Why do I put so much weight on that? Why do I spend so much time measuring my faith and my ability to understand truth about healing and who God is and what his character is? Why do I spend so much time focusing on what's happening to the outer man as it relates to that? And so this is our eternal hope that we have, that this life is not all that there is. In fact, the Bible says multiple times that it's momentary, that it's fleeting, that it's a vapor. And I believe it for the first time. That there is an eternal hope that is bigger and better than what is here in this life. When I was crying out to God and in that process and disorientated in all that was going on, and he was saying, what is it about this life that you think is so great? So we have this eternal hope, but we also have a present hope that is available right now. And there is a place that we can live. There are whole doctrines that are focused on just this eternal hope. There's also whole doctrines that are focused just on present hope. And the reality is there is a present hope. There is a present hope that is available to us right now. Psalm 46:1 says, God is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in time of trouble. That is so clear. He is a very present help in time of trouble. And in verse 10 of that same chapter, it says, be still and know that I am God. And this was a place that I anchored myself to. I am God. Not, I will be God when I show up and do the thing that you want me to do. But I am God right now in this moment. Not, I will be God when you die and go to heaven. I am God right now in this moment.
Yeah.
In this place where you're struggling to understand, will you let go of understanding? And will you anchor yourself to this hope that I am God? I am being God right now. Right. Yeah. Emmanuel, God with us. The present hope says that if I have a need, there is provision. That if I am sick, that there is healing. There is a present hope that we get to continue to believe for as it relates to that. That if I have confusion, that he will bring clarity. That where I have sin, he will bring forgiveness and grace not to walk in that sin. If I'm mourning, the present hope is he will comfort me.
That's right.
If I have insecurity, he will come with love that is secure. If I am in bondage, he will bring freedom. This is the present hope. We're not waiting until eternal hope happens. We get to have this present hope right now. One of the best illustrations for this that I think, or the relationship, because there's a balance between the two. They are not opposed to one another. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just me. But I tend to want to unravel these things and pit them against one another. Eternal hope and present hope. But they are interwoven with one another. They're cohesive. And one of the ways that they relate, when we look at 2 Corinthians 5, it says, now he who has prepared for us this very thing is God, who also has given us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. So what I see in that, in some version it says, he's given us the Holy Spirit as a down payment of the things that are to come, so that we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. What I see is the present hope, the things that we can experience here on earth as our present hope. Really sorry. I'm going to get a special pretty barrette one that I can just stick in my hair. That present hope is a down payment. I think I'm just going to use this one.
Just pull it
up. Oh, I think it's on. It's a down payment for us. It's a guarantee of what's to come. It's a shadow of what the eternal hope is. So when we're looking at eternal and present hope, they're intertwined. But we need to recognize that this present hope is a down payment of what is to come. It is a shadow of what is to come. but that he's faithful to release that present hope, to be our help, to be with us in mourning, to comfort us, to bring freedom as a guarantee of the ultimate hope of eternity with him when the perfect comes. So they aren't in competition with one another. They're actually proving one another out. And we can live in both this present hope and this eternal hope because I saw it. I saw my mom fully in both of those. One of the most important things to her, she said, I want to make sure that people know I have never given up hope. Even as she began to find a place of peace with stepping into eternity, she wanted to make sure that we knew that she had not let go of present hope. I can hold firmly to eternal hope and present hope at the same time. That is such a security for us. If I'm only laying hold of one, I'm not anchored in the fullness of who Jesus is. And so we get to lay hold of both. If you have been in that place where you're grasping and holding tightly only to eternal hope, this morning the Lord wants to open up to you and ignite present hope. And if you have been one that has been holding tight and grasping only present hope, and been disorientated and disappointed, he wants to open up to you and ignite the reality of the eternal hope that you have, that there is more than this. And it's so important that we get this right, not just so that we can feel good, not just so that we can be happy and joyful, which is definitely a benefit of having hope. But it is so important that we get this right because our lives as believers are meant to be full of hope. We are meant to be hope-filled people. We are meant to be a hope-filled community. Romans 15:13. This is a prayer that Pastor Dave prayed when he taught on hope. And I believe he prayed it over us on the candlelight service too at Christmas. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing so that you will abound in hope, overflow with hope. We are meant to be overflowing, like dripping hope, leaking hope. That when I come and I give you a hug, I go, ugh, what is that? Oh, your hope is getting on me. Right? Like, when I'm walking through the grocery store, there's little trails and puddles, and people are stepping in it, and it's sticking to them. I'm pretty sure it looks like glitter. And it, you know how glitter just, like, doesn't come off anything? That's why we've banned it here. But, like, glitter, that we are meant to be dripping with hope. One of the biggest gifts that Brian and I can give a couple when we meet one-on-one with a couple, or even in the workshops we do, it's been described to us as obnoxious hope for their marriage. So we have couples that come in and they're in crisis and they've been through it and life has just come against them and it's just their marriage is... And they've lost hope. One of the biggest gifts that I can give is I can give them a big, wet, sticky, glitter hug of hope. I can be overflowing with hope for their situation. We're meant to be overflowing with hope, leaking hope. We were born into it. It's our natural state of being. In fact, it is now the condition by which is required for you to live. In 1 Peter 1:3, it says, "Who according to his abundant mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus." This is, we're born again into this environment, this atmosphere. I now need this to live. I need hope to grow.
That's the environment that you can flourish in. And so it's important because we're meant to be overflowing. The other reason it's important is because it's a huge part of our witness. 1 Peter 3:15, but in your heart, sanctify Jesus as Lord, always being ready to give an answer to everyone who asks, a reason for the hope that is in you. Has it been a while since anybody's asked? That's how it felt for me, like, wow, I'm not sure when the last time anybody asked me the reason for this hope. But I can tell you in this last 6 months, a lot of people have asked me. A lot of people have asked us as a family. It's opened a lot of doors. Because we get to point to Jesus in that process. We get to point to, this is what I'm anchored to. Yeah. Hope is rare in this season, in this time. And really, it's hopelessness. I feel like hopelessness is what I'm stepping in the supermarket aisles. Hope is rare. And I feel like we're running into hopelessness everywhere. It's everywhere. It's the way that we present things on the news. It's in our neighborhoods. It's people are attracted to hope because it's rare. Because they don't have it, because they need it. And we have it. It's part of our inheritance. We've been born again into it. It is the thing that oozes off of us and sticks to people when we touch them. And when they walk through our house, they have to scrape it off their feet because it is our environment, hope. It's what we create around us. It's important that we get that. In Ephesians 2:12, it says, remember that at that time you were without Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. They are aliens from the covenant of promise. We are not aliens from the covenant of promise. We have access to eternal hope and present hope. And it's important that we demonstrate it so that people can be attracted to it. That's why it's important that we display hope and why we walk in that place of hope. The third reason is because hope is connected to faith. And we know faith is a very important piece of our Christian life. Dave talked about how faith, hope, and love are like this three-legged stool that the Christian life sets on, really. It's how we live. But faith is the active part. We live by faith. We're meant to walk by faith. With it, we can move mountains. Those who have it, nothing is impossible to them. The Bible even says that we can't please God without it. So faith is an important piece. The goal of our Christian life is that we live a life of faith. But faith is ignited by hope. That's why it's important that we know how to cultivate hope in our lives. Because faith is ignited by hope. They're not the same. Hope and faith are not the same. But faith comes out of hope. Faith begins in hope. Faith is hope's action. So I have hope for something, but it becomes faith when I step into it. It becomes faith when I give it an action. You know the verse that talks about that faith is the substance of things hoped for, Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Faith is the substance of what I'm hoping for. It's the visible piece. It's the thing that I give my hope feet with faith. And the way that I look at it is it's like a pilot light. Recently, we changed out our hot water heater, or had we didn't. We had someone do it. But we had our hot water heater replaced, and of course he turned the gas off to put it in and all of that, and got it lit, and it's wonderful, and we love it. We never have to worry about whether or not there's going to be water, and that's amazing. Thank you, Lord. That was a present hope for us. But he did it sometime kind of in the late summer, and as it got colder, I wanted to flick on our gas fireplace. And I went to flick the switch, and nothing happened. And we're like, oh. So we turned it off, because that's scary when that happens. And we realized he didn't relight the fireplace when he turned off the gas. He didn't relight the pilot light in the fireplace. And we hadn't used it for a while, because even I don't use that fireplace in the summer much, often. And so when we went to flick it on, it didn't come on. And to me, that's hope that has not been lit or has not stayed lit. When I go to access it because I need faith, nothing lights. There's nothing there. And so in Psalm 71, David says, I will hope continually. Hope is the thing that should be continually lit in our lives so that when I need to access faith, it's there. It can be ignited. When hope is present, faith can manifest. That is why, because it's so important to faith, that is why there's a battle for hope. That is why the enemy goes after hope in our lives. And the main way that he does that, because he's the father of lies, is he lies to us. He lies to us about who God is. He lies to us about who we are. He lies to us about who others are. And it extinguishes, it cuts off the flow of hope in our lives. We're in a battle. It's been said, I know that Steve Backlund and Francis Frangipan said it first. Any area of my life that is not glistening with hope is under the influence of a lie. And that's the battle for our hope. That the enemy wants to attack hope because it's what keeps us anchored and it's what allows faith to operate in our lives. And because it's a witness. It demonstrates to other people. It's a light to other people. That's why it's so important that we know how to cultivate and protect hope. We're in a battle, but we're so winning the battle. We have every access to win the battle. We don't talk a lot about the battle here, but there is a reality to the fact that we have to contend for hope, that we have to do it on purpose. We have the benefit of the fact that he wants to give it to us by the Holy Spirit, but we have to choose it. We have to step into it. We have to be diligent in our hope. And this is the thing that I have found over and over again that has strengthened me is when I have had to contend for hope. That's the place that separates the men from the boys. And I'm a man. Well, I'm not, but, or the women from the girls, is our ability to contend for that hope. In Hebrews 6:11, it says, we want each of you to show this same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. The context here is that they're talking to the Hebrews, and they're talking about some who have fallen away. Paul is talking to them and saying, but, maybe Paul, we don't know. I'm not going to say Paul. Somebody who's writing to the Hebrews is saying, some have fallen away, but that's not you. You have served faithfully. You have done the works of the Lord. You have served faithfully. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the full assurance of hope. That there is a diligence with which we go after hope. that there is a place on our part. The next verse says that you do not become sluggish or lazy around this issue of hope. I can tell you that my posture for hope is sometimes like this. Okay, give me hope. No? Okay, well then. And I move on. And our posture around hope is diligence. Our posture around hope is that we know how to cultivate it and we know how to protect it in our lives, especially when the battle is raging and when there's turbulence and when we feel like we're losing track of what is true in the Lord. There's a diligence. Do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. My mama inherited the promise of hope through faith and patience. The fullness of hope, eternal hope and present hope. May I always be able to imitate her in that. May there always be people in our lives who are pursuing hope in such a way that we can say, I can imitate that. Do not get lazy around the issue of hope. There came this place in times of loss when I would get under something. When I had a miscarriage, it was similar. You would get under this sense of loss and hopelessness, but there came a place where something rose up in me that says, I refuse to live hopeless. I will not allow any area of my life to be under a lie and hopeless. And that's the thing, that we need to get some fight in us around this issue of hope. That there is a wrestling that we're meant to do around this issue of hope. For David, you see it all throughout Psalms. In Psalm 43, he would talk to himself. Psalm 43:5, why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. And that's that diligence, that there's some fight in us that says, I will not live hopeless. I will put my hope in God. I will tell my soul what to do, and it will listen. And that's the place of diligence. It really doesn't require, there's not a whole lot, other than oftentimes just the confession of our mouths, that we will contend for that place of hope. Dave said it on the 9th. He said that you look for where you lost it and go back there and get it. And so there's this diligence that we go after that hope with. One of the most amazing things to me is that my connection to hope has been built up in the most hopeless looking circumstances. That I can count these times in my life where hope was truly formed within me was absolutely during tribulation and trial in my life. That there is a tenacity that rises up. Romans 5:3 says, we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. And so, doesn't it seem so upside down that hope is produced in trial and tribulation? Hope is produced. You know, that is amazing news for us this year, isn't it? That what is going to happen out of the things, out of those disorientating circumstances that you've been walking through, what is going to be produced out of that is hope. Because that's the way of things. That there is a tenacity that rises up in us that says, I will hope in the Lord. Despite what I see, despite what I've just been through, I will hope in the Lord. I will anchor myself to something deeper than this circumstance that I'm in right now. My anchor goes all the way behind the veil to the Holy of Holies, where I'm anchored in hope. And so this is our privilege, that we get to step into this together today. That we get to say, I will not stay where I am. I will not stay in this place. I will diligently go after this living hope that was bought and paid for me. It's being offered to me by the Holy Spirit. It's something that I believe the Lord wants to impart to us, but he also wants us to protect it. He's going to impart it to us. He is imparting it to us. He's been doing it for the last few weeks. But he also wants us to be diligent to protect it. And one of the ways that we do that is we focus our hope on the faithfulness of God. That's what we anchor ourselves to. When I'm disorientated, it's because my hope has been misplaced. Because I've hoped in something less. That hymn has been in my head all week. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and righteousness. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. There's this place of hope, and we know this, and yet sometimes, because of our present hope infatuation, we place our hope in circumstance. We place our hope in particular results. We place our hope in what I can see in this moment, what did or didn't happen. But there's a higher place for our hope to be anchored to. Hebrews 10:22 says, let us draw near with a full heart. Nope. Let us draw near with a true heart. In full assurance of faith, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. That is what I anchor to, that he who promised is faithful. And part of anchoring our hope to him is getting a hold of, what is it that your promise is to me right now? Not, what is my wishful thinking around this circumstance? What is your promise to me right now? Because I can stand on that. I can stand on who you are, that you are God in this moment, that you are being God, that you have been God, you're being God, and you're going to be God. What can I anchor myself? What is the promise that you want to give me right now? One thing that Dave talked about was that we can sometimes stand on a promise that isn't ours to stand on. Sometimes that's somebody else's promise. But we want to get a hold of, what promise do you want me to stand on? And the way that we do that is the second piece. We know his thoughts towards us. So we're anchored to his faithfulness, and we're anchored to his thoughts towards us. Because how many of us have ever been in the place where we go, yeah, I know God's faithful to other people. Right? I know God's faithful. But no, I want to be in this place where I know his thoughts towards me. He's not hope of the nations. He is. But he's hope for me. And so we need to know. This is why intimacy is so important in this season. Because we focus on his faithfulness, but even more than that, in that intimacy with him, we know his thoughts towards us. I have to read it. It's obligatory. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts I have towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. These words were spoken to Jeremiah, who was the weeping prophet, who was listened to by no one ever. He was like the least successful prophet ever. And it was given to him, I think he was probably still in a pit that they threw him in, but it was given to him while they're being carried off into captivity. And the hope is, my thoughts towards you. That there's something that I'm going to do that's better than this. I know the thoughts I have towards you. They're plans and thoughts for a future and a hope. And that's what we want to anchor to. Abraham, it talks about that contrary to hope, in hope believed. Do you know why? Because he was anchored to the faithfulness of God and the covenant that he made, and he knew God's thoughts for him. He knew he was connected to both the eternal hope and he was connected to the present hope. Your future depends on hope. Your future depends on being anchored to his faithfulness and knowing his thoughts towards you. Because when we're hopeless, we stop moving forward. It's hope that allows us to move forward. It's hope that gives us vision for something different than what I see right now. Do you know that once I'm in the thing that I had hope for, it's not hope anymore? And it's almost like less precious in some ways. How many of you have found in that season of waiting patiently and calling on the faithfulness of God, has there been a preciousness, almost a greater preciousness in the hoping than in the actual stepping into the thing? It is Christmas morning in every household, right? Oh, the buildup and the anticipation. And you know what I had to keep telling myself as my daughter is giving us Christmas lists since July and talking about how exciting it's going to be and who we're going to see and the foods we're going to have. And I had to keep going, and hope does not disappoint. And hope does not. But what is true about that? Hope properly placed does not disappoint. It cannot disappoint. There are times when I'm ministering at the prison with the ladies there who have had horrible, horrible, hopeless things. And I think, oh, I don't want to hurt them. Yeah, I know. You don't want to know this about me. Anyway, I don't want to hurt them by giving them hope. Really? What about what we just talked about in any way supports that mentality? What is definitely important is that I give them the right hope. Yeah. That I help them fix their hope in the right place. And that's the place that we are today, that our hope would be fixed in the right place. I believe that the Lord is rekindling hope in us. I just want to read really quick. I was talking to a friend about what I was going to preach on, and she wishes to remain anonymous, but I want to read a poem that she wrote. Where does my hope come from? It comes from above. It comes from the God who's called love. This hope that I have, it lights my path. It encourages me to move onward, to go on, soldier. Keep moving forward. This light that I've been given, I must protect. For diligence is the key, if the whole world shall see. Because the world's a dark place, so the light will embrace. It's a home to the weary, a help to the needy. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Not going to blow it out, not going to hide it away. For I want the whole world to see he who put this hope in me. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. See how the Lord's preaching this word through so many different ways? His hope is a home for you. His hope is a home for us. And so, as we're closing, I just want us to find ourselves at home in that place. I want us to consider, is there any area? Most of us, our entire lives aren't influenced by hopelessness, but is there any area that is influenced by hopelessness? When I look at my future, when I look at my finances or my career or my relationship with my kids, or my marriage, or my health, or an area of sin, or what's going on in the nation, or what's going on around the world? Is there any area that I'm influenced by hopelessness? Do I have a confident expectation of good in all of these things? Do you know, it doesn't even have to be an expectation of a particular good. Just, do I have a confident expectation of good? Is my hope rooted in knowing that He is faithful and that He's a good God? When we miraculously got pregnant and then not as miraculously miscarried, my tenacity was, I know that you're good, and I know that you have a plan, and I'm going to like it. That was my version of, why so downcast, O my soul, put your hope in God. That we know that His thoughts towards us are for good and for a future. Last week, we spent some time writing on these two boards, and we left them up for those of you who maybe missed the opportunity. What areas of life do I need this impartation of hope? What areas of my life, what things are maybe not oozing with a confident expectation of good? I think it was Mary that spoke a little bit to the word about hope, and she said, I'm leading you. Not only am I your hope, but I'm your leader. I'm your shepherd. I'm leading you. And I felt like one of the things I wanted to ask us is, where are you leading me into hope, God? That we would ask Him that. Where are you leading me into hope? That we would focus on His faithfulness and on asking, where are you leading me into hope? So I just want to take the last couple minutes to do that. For us to allow Him to impart that to us. Multiple times it says that we would have this hope by the Holy Spirit. And I believe that we are and have been through the worship and through the words and through this written word, we have been receiving an impartation of hope. And I feel like I've released a word from the Word of God, but I want for you to receive a rhema word about hope, a word in this moment of what are His thoughts towards you. So just take a minute and ask, where are you leading me into hope, Lord? And just let Him speak to you, let Him show you, let Him give you vision. And this is a dialogue that you can continue with Him throughout the week. But regarding those things that He's sharing His thoughts with you right now, I just bless you with an impartation of fresh hope. I bless you with a fresh revelation of His faithfulness. I bless you to receive a deeper revelation of eternal hope and present hope. That it would be an anchor for your soul. I bless you with times of finding His thoughts towards you in the secret place where your hope is anchored. I want to bless you again with this blessing from Romans. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you will abound, overflow, drip, leak hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, and I bless you with the fire in your belly to contend for it. I bless your soul to hope in the Lord continually. In Jesus' name. Amen. This is a year of hope. I'd encourage you to continue that dialogue with the Lord. We are going to have prayer teams up front. If you just want to have someone stand with you in prayer, if you have a need. And I bless you to go forth with hope. Leak everywhere. Coffee, not okay. Hope. It comes out of the carpet. It's great.